Hundreds of invited guests, including many University of Arkansas students, arrived early last night to sit inside the Verizon Ballroom in the University of Arkansas Union. The President's Lecture, sponsored by the Dale Bumpers College of Agricultural, Food, and Life Sciences, was primarily about the role of agriculture in the 21st century. President Clinton also spent time reminiscing about his experiences with Senator Bumpers in Arkansas politics, and at the end, answering questions that had been submitted by students of the Bumpers College. In the next few days, we'll hear some of those anecdotes and some of the answers to the questions. Here, though, are edited excerpts from the lecture about agriculture, food, the future, and what Bill Clinton says he has learned since creating the William J. Clinton Foundation.
And since I've been out of office, I spend most of my time with farmers who do things those of you who are students here wouldn't recognize, in places where people often live on a dollar a day or less. But here's what I want to say. If you're interested in food production, we have two big challenges. First is that there are now 7 billion people in the world, and there'll be 9 billion by 2050, and we got to figure out how to feed them all, because it is morally unacceptable to let children starve to death because of where they were born by accident. The second thing and that's in the poor countries. The second thing we have to do is figure out how in the rich countries to feed them all so the way they eat doesn't kill them soon, which is what is happening with this rising rate of diabetes to breathtaking proportions among our young people. And it will require changes in how we deal with both agriculture in poor countries and agriculture in rich countries. To deal with the poor countries first, the problem of agriculture is illustrative of the problems I face in Haiti and Africa, East Asia, poorest parts of Latin America. Poor people are just as smart as we are and probably work harder to keep body and soul together, but they do not have the systems we have and take for granted. Just for example, think of all the systems you're taking for granted today. You haven't even thought about it, but you'd be surprised if the microphone failed, if the lights went out, if the air conditioning didn't work. If you get bored with my speech, you can get out of here and go to the bathroom. I spend lots of time in places where none of that can be taken for granted. In a cruel metaphor, during the inaugural speech of the president of Haiti, the microphone failed because the only one cord that was there got severed. And it took us 15 minutes to re-rig everything so the guy could give his speech. They don't have systems. Systems make life predictable and give predictable, positive consequences to good conduct. I read that the other day they're predicting another famine in the Horn of Africa. You know, that's eastern Ethiopia, Somalia, Djibouti, northern Kenya. Now, here's what I want you to know. About 5 years ago, I went to Ethiopia, where I don't do any farm work yet, to visit some of the solar villages we had helped to establish and to look at our efforts to build clinics in the country, because Ethiopia has good health care in their cities. A health minister you would be proud if he were the director of the Department of Health in Arkansas. But it's a country of 80 million people, and 58 million of them live in 60,000 villages of fewer than 1,000 people. And when we started, there were only 700 clinics in the whole country for 60,000 villages. So I said, well, let's come up with a plan. They said, we got a plan. We just don't know how to do it. I said, what's the plan? They said, first, 3,500 clinics. I said, that's not many. He said, oh, yes, but if we put them in the right place, every person will be within a day's walk of a clinic. Then at least no one will die alone with no one knowing whether they lived or died. And then we'll go to 16,000, and everybody will be within 3 hours' walk of a clinic. Meanwhile, we're having a famine over there, right? Every two or three years, America has to pony up money or food to deal with the famine. I was there before the harvest, and they had the darndest crops you ever saw. In the southern and western part of the country, the fields were thick with corn and beans and other crops. And I said to the guy I was with, I said, this is nuts. You're growing more than the people here can consume. He said, yes, but we have no storage facility, no distribution system, no way to deliver the food even to the eastern part of our country, much less to Somalia or Djibouti. Why am I telling you this? Because if you go to a poor place and you care about agriculture, keep in mind, these people are not buying rice from Arkansas or soybeans. This is not costing us anything to try to help them, but it may cost us a great deal if we don't help them and they can't feed themselves in terms of future disruptions that the young people here will have to face. As American agriculture, we're going to have new markets. There are countries all over the world. The Saudis know they're growing fast and they can't grow food in the desert past a certain point. The Chinese are already so worried about water supply problems because Beijing has 27 million people, for example, and it's draining their water, that their southernmost river, the Yellow River, is dry parts of the year, and the Yangtze, the two being the basic backbone of Chinese civilization, they have built these two huge gravity-driven canals from the Yangtze to the Yellow to fill up the Yellow when it's dry, and some Chinese engineers, not American environmentalists, Chinese engineers believe that the result of this experiment may be to dry up both rivers for significant parts of the year. You should not want that to happen. You should not wish them ill. You should hope that we can build a common future. Meanwhile, how are we going to feed all those people in the cities? There will be lots of markets for American exports if we continue to do what we know to do. What we have to do is to reexamine every aspect of the food distribution system in America to try to make sure that we drastically cut the rate of childhood obesity and the likelihood of diabetes. We already spend 17.5% of our income on health care. No other country spends more than 12. That's $850 billion to $1 trillion a year we're spending, not to be healthier, but because of the system we have. And $150 billion of that is directly caused by the excess rates of diabetes we have. Not type 1 diabetes, the kind you're born with, type 2 diabetes, the kind you get from living, how you eat or don't, how you exercise or don't. Therefore, when somebody tells you they want to cut agricultural research, say no. And say, not because you're trying to find a way for any of our great agricultural companies to make more money, but because we have to find a way to feed our people and save the next generation of children.
Those were edited comments from Bill Clinton's speech last night in the Verizon Ballroom on the University of Arkansas campus. The talk was the inaugural Dale and Betty Bumpers Distinguished Lecture. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Kyle Kellum.